Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Alaska Patriot Network. This is Dahl. I'm your host. So glad you could find us tonight. We have a great show lined up for everybody to listen to and participate in if you would like to call in to tonight's show. The call-in number is 515-602-9722. Press number 1, and that lets us know in the studio that you'd like to join live in this broadcast. We'll be joined by Lori Ann, the host of the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann show. You can find that show right here at Blog Talk Radio, Sunday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific. It's a great show. I joined Lori Ann there as the co-host. We swap respective seats. So while we're getting settled into the studio, we have some great music for you, and we're going to be right back after this song to kick off the show. I'm not going to keep anybody waiting. We have a lot of news, information, and discussion to be had tonight, so definitely don't want to miss any of that. So, you know, don't go far, and we'll be right back here with you in 1 second.
Doctor says my blood pressure's down, and it's been that way since you skipped town. And I know you thought you're leaving, make me feel like screaming, but baby, I ain't even stressing out. I bet you thought I'd be getting lonely, thought I'd be getting angry, but girl, I ain't even getting mad. I've been getting laid back, baby, you should know that. I don't need your criticism, pessimism. I've been keeping it on the DL, got a girl that keeps, and it's all I need to know, and all you need to know, babe. Since you've been gone, I've been getting laid back. Used to have these headaches all day long, but it's disappeared since you've been gone. And that girl next door, she sees me, loves how I'm taking it easy, blows kisses at me while I'm on my lawn. Bet you thought I'd be getting lonely, thought I'd be getting angry, but I've been getting luckier than that. I've been getting laid back, baby, you should know that. I don't need your criticism, pessimism. I've been keeping it on the DL, got a girl that keeps, but that's all I need to know, and all you need to know, babe. Since you've been gone, I've been getting laid back. I've been getting laid back, busy getting laid. yeah. We got a girl that keeps it real, but that's all I need to know, and all you need to know, babe. Since you've been gone, I've been getting laid back, busy getting laid back. Keep getting lucky, getting laid back.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne Show, Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
China is our labor supplier that drives our stock price even higher. What the world knows today, obesity won't go away.
Won't be cool.
Diabetes is here to stay. That's a real thing. What the world knows today, obesity won't go away.
Well, welcome back to the Alaska Patriot Network. Once again, this is Dahl. I'm your host. We have Lorianne, the host of the Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne Show. You can find that right here at Blog Talk Radio, Sunday night, 6 to 9 p.m. I will be there with Lorianne as her co-host. We swap respective seats on that night, so definitely join us. It's a great time. She has great guests and fun callers, and it's a blast that usually goes into a bonus overtime hours. So definitely like and follow the Lucid Libertarian page on Facebook, as well as the Alaska Patriot Network. You can find that on Facebook. Like and follow that page for exclusive content that you will not find on my regular Facebook page. So without any further ado, we're going to welcome Lorianne into the show. Welcome in, Lorianne.
Hello, hello, honey. How you doing? Happy Friday.
Yes, it is Friday. It's Friday night. It's February. Can you believe we've all survived the 300 days of January? Oh, wait. January has how many days? It feels like 300. You know, really,
well,
it does.
Well, not to me.
It seems like
it was just like a week ago that we celebrated New Year's, and it's like already February now, so it just flew by for me. But I know for you, you've been so busy lately and working hard with the house rebuild and trying to keep up on normal everyday life there up there in Alaska on the island. And so I know for you, it probably seems like it's taken forever for January to come to pass.
Yeah. You know, we haven't had as much snow as we usually have this time of year. And the ice road is kind of thawed out. So life's a little more tolerable. You know, it's just a living in rural Alaska and, you know, primarily a subsistence lifestyle, it's just that, you know, there's a lot of foraging and wood cutting and sometimes getting water and procuring fuel and all the other stuff. So it's a full-time job on top of this monumental project I've been tackling. But, you know, it's well worth it. And I'll tell you, Lorianne, I don't know how folks in what we call America from Alaska, because we feel so far, you know, removed from the continental United States, you know, we're never even on, you know, the Weather Channel, or, you know, they show a map of the United States and it usually excludes Alaska and, you know, Hawaii as well. So I don't feel, you know, so left out, but living up here feels so far removed from some of the issues that are happening right now in America. And I was hoping to discuss, you know, we've got spy balloons floating around and this illegitimate shit show of an administration running America into the ground. We had discussed last week's show, the fentanyl crisis in America, and not only the devastating effects of that, you know, day to day, that, you know, the grief and the hardship that causes, but where this fentanyl is coming from, you know, China and Mexico's complacency in, you know, funneling into the United States and stuff. So last week we did a lot of discussion on China and its role in this fentanyl crisis. And it's, I think it ties to today's show in such that, once again, we're talking about China infiltrating America and its agenda, and how,
yeah, it was
people
almost predictive.
Not...
Like last week on the show, we were like, you know, it's really focused on the fentanyl crisis and China's role in it, and we focused so much on that. And it's like, just when we thought that we'd be done talking about China, this past week, it's like,
yeah,
okay, we're back to talking about China again.
Well, I think, you know, I hope I made myself clear last week's show that, you know, what China is doing with the fentanyl is an act of war. And
oh, yeah.
How
anybody
I,
listening last
I was
week,
hoping...
I think, probably got that impression between the both of us, because we were both.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're on the brink of war with China. And I think that, and I know I said this last week, that the fentanyl's not getting the attention as a weapon of mass destruction, because people aren't seeing this huge explosion and craters in the streets and everything else. But the infiltration of fentanyl has killed tens of thousands of Americans every year for the last couple years. And then prior to that, you know, there were other drugs, but fentanyl being the primary one. So now we have, China's not even trying to hide it anymore. I mean, I don't know if somebody heard our broadcast and said, hey, the cat's out of the hat, you know, but over there in the CCP,
got it.
But hey, you know, we're here to tell you, China is aggressively entering. I don't know of anybody that doesn't know this, but China has taken a surveillance balloon and gone over large swaths of the United States with it. And just kind of like the Hunter Biden laptop that was kept, you know, hush-hush, and the Biden documents that were, you know, discovered November 2nd, but nobody heard about them until 2023, this balloon has been floating around for a couple days. And America is just now starting.
They're
just now hear about it.
Right overhead where you're at, you know. Did you see the balloon floating over your place? Because that's where it started.
Yeah. No, I did not notice two moons. But yeah, some people, like from Montana, it looked like, you know, a second moon. But no, I did not see it. It's been really stormy and stuff. It's something that I probably would have stuck out in the night sky to me if it was visible to the eye, because I do love to watch the night sky. I love the stars. So anyway, so we've
got
this
balloon floating.
Well, they
probably didn't have lights on it and stuff, you know, not to totally interrupt, but they probably didn't have lights on it and stuff. But it is really concerning that it started out in Alaska, because Alaska has a lot of stuff that, you know, the Chinese could spy on. You know, Alaska has a lot of natural resources. It has a lot of, you know, submarines.
Military assets,
all that kind of stuff. And so, that's a big thing. And so that's really concerning that it started out there. And it's not like we wouldn't have known, you know, it's not like we, like our government would not be able to track this thing. And if they were going to shoot it down, that would have been the best place to do it, because so much of Alaska is uninhabited mountainous terrain. And so you wouldn't have to really worry a whole lot about any, you know, damage to property or possible injuries or anything like that. If they were going to shoot it down, Alaska would have been the prime place to do it while it was floating overhead. But no, you know, it's been allowed to travel from there to the western U.S., and it's continuing. Now it's in the Midwest, going over other installations, even Montana, and, you know, it's really crazy. I am absolutely baffled why this balloon from China is being allowed to continue on its course in U.S. airspace and not being shot down. I mean, it's absolutely baffling to me.
Yes, and if you look at the hypothetical or, you know, theoretical flight path that this self-propelled, it is not just up there, you know, riding the thermals or anything. It's got a propulsion system, and it went over Alaska. It's gone over the state of Washington, into Montana, Wyoming. Okay, so you go... Alaska has, you know, huge assets, military assets. Washington State has Trident submarine bases, huge naval facilities. You've got telecom, which is a huge army base. I mean, some huge naval assets in western Washington. Then you go to eastern Washington, which played a huge Eastern Washington, which played a huge role in the Cold War. There's a lot of missile silos there. There's Fairchild Air Force Base, and then proceed to go over to Montana, where you have more nuclear silos and whatnot into Wyoming. There again, you've got huge military assets, nuclear, you know, the underground bunkers and you know, the mountain homes, one of the big assets in Montana. And so this balloon is making its way to the eastern seaboard, as far as they can tell so far. And it has also gone into Canadian airspace. When it transversed over, it came over through Canadian airspace. Now, we've talked about this before. I do believe that Canada has allowed just as many Chinese assets to buy up Canada and to set up shop there as America has. It's plausible. One of my first instincts was, geez, did the Chinese launch this damn thing right from their land here in the United States? But looking at its path of travel, that doesn't seem plausible. But it is possible when you allow.
I wonder where it was launched from. You know, where exactly was it launched from? Was it launched from a Chinese ship? Or maybe
probably
even
a Russian ship,
because we all know that there's Russian ships right there around Alaska. Are they in cahoots with Russia on this? I mean, you know, I'm really wondering about that.
Well, yeah, and you know, China and Russia have a long-standing relationship. Okay, and this is something that I was hoping to talk about after we listened to the Facts Matter clip. But, you know, I want people to remember, China and Russia have a very strong relationship. And China and Ukraine, not so much. They've never really had a great relationship. They haven't, you know, stood against Russia, you know, and Russia's involvement in the civil war there in Ukraine. And then you look at the relations with U.S. and Ukraine. And Ukraine and U.S., so we've got Russia and U.S. are not in good relations right now. And Ukraine and Russia are not in great, Russia and Ukraine are not in great relations. U.S. and Russia are not in great relations. But China's good relationship with Russia. And as long as Russia and China, and China keeps encouraging this Russian incursion into Ukraine, Ukraine will continue to drain and deplete at the free will. I mean, Biden can't wait to give away all of our military assets to Ukraine. So with that, and that's why I wanted to talk about this tonight on tonight's show. It's plausible, and from my point of view, that this illegitimate administration is working in concert with, I don't know if they're in cahoots with China. I know, you know, the big guy's getting a cut and Hunter's got business dealings over there and purposely, you know, depleting. Do you think that they could possibly purposely weakening United States assets on purpose in wasting them in Ukraine to weaken America? That, I mean, what's the end game here? Is Biden a madman that is going to let America implode upon itself? Is he working as a double agent, or is it just for money? I mean, because I can't imagine any other, well, besides Obama, allowing this incursion to happen. This is a act of war. What China is doing
is an
act of war. They're lying about what they are doing.
Now this.
Yeah, they're and the fentanyl and the
fentanyl,
China virus.
I mean, if Trump were in office right now, and you know that I have a lot of mixed feelings about Trump. You know, I never voted for him, and if he runs again, I most likely wouldn't vote for him. But I am. Seriously, I 100% believe that if Trump was in office right now, this would not be happening. He would never allow it. It would have been shut
absolutely
down
not,
almost
yeah.
immediately when it entered U.S. airspace. He would have never allowed this crap at all.
You know, and this is the same administration that, you know, is painting Putin as this evil, how dare he, you know, do what he's doing in Ukraine, and borders are important and we must protect the border over there and stuff. And I mean, what in the hell is going on? But yet at the same time, our airspace.
Yeah. Why is it more important for us to help the Ukraine? Yeah.
then
spot
help
on,
ourselves.
Girl, you're spot on. You're getting me riled up.
Well, what? But is it? I mean, he's like, oh, geez, it'd be rude to shoot down that balloon. You know, in fact, I haven't seen anything come from the president. Well, the illegitimate president. And it stands to reason that a illegitimate president that is sitting in, you know, the big house on Pennsylvania Avenue would be a foreign agent. I don't know if he's exactly a foreign agent, but he's not working in the best interests of Americans. So who is he working for? I mean, he's not working for us.
He's definitely not working for America. That's for sure. It's obvious.
No.
He hasn't been working for America for a long time. And his, you know, interests, you know, we cannot forget that, you know, our government has, you know, thought of it was a good idea to help build up China. And, oh, it's a good thing that they're a developing nation and stuff like that if we go back, you know, even 10 years. And, you know, so, like, we helped prop them up only for China to now present itself as more and more of an enemy. And with, you know, and like we're saying earlier, it's like, why is it so important for us to be spending hundreds of billions of dollars in money and military equipment to help the Ukraine protect its borders, while at the same time, we're going to allow this crap from China? Like, really? You know, China being, again, you know, one, like, China and Russia are, like, number one trade partners with each other. China and Russia do military exercises with each other, so therefore you know they share intelligence with each other. And so, you know, why on earth would we ever allow any of this to be happening, especially, you know, and I know we'll get into it later, but, you know, China purchasing land here in the United States and allowing that. I mean, and I got to, again, on that subject, give kudos to Kristi Noem in South Dakota. Literally going, no way, Jose, you know, China is not buying a single damn thing in my state. You know, but North Dakota doesn't have the same balls that Kristi Noem does. So yeah, we can get more into that later, but I'm just saying, it's just like, you know, why are we allowing this? Why is our government undermining we the people of the United States of America by allowing our enemies to violate our, you know, violate cybersecurity and, you know, violate our airspace, and suck our resources up, you know, including fresh water and everything. And even our own, when Biden opened up our strategic petroleum reserves, and a lot of that went off to China. We literally took our own strategic reserve so that we have enough petroleum to defend ourselves and, you know, fuel up all of our planes and equipment and stuff here to defend our own homeland. Why were we then shipping some of that gas off to China? You know, it's like, this is such an obvious coercion between Biden and his administration and all of his rulers behind him, you know, corporate and otherwise, to be colluded with China and by de facto Russia. It is just, yeah, like, you know, Think was saying, is it's going to be like another Gulf of Tolkien or whatever. It's like, I don't know. I mean, but you can see the setup happening. You know, it's like Biden is securing us getting into the next world war, you know, securing that it'll happen one by one by allowing this. And then him not saying anything, him doing interviews talking about everything but this, It's sickening. It's absolutely sickening. This guy needs out. I think that him allowing this crap from China, especially a balloon like this, it's impeachable. It's treason. He is colluding with China by allowing this. He is allowing an enemy to spy on us with this balloon to go over military bases, silos, our nuclear silos. That's where this balloon has been hovering around. If we got nuclear silos somewhere, that balloon is hovering over it and getting intelligence out of us. This is treason. This is impeachable. This is kick his ass out now, type of stuff. And, why
yes.
is our Congress not doing that right now? And it should be bipartisan. Every single Democrat should also be behind it. There is no defense of this, period. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on.
Exactly. And China's response was not surprising. It's a weather balloon. There's nothing to see here. That was their response.
Right.
They lie. We are against we're dealing with an adversary that has literally thousands of years of war skill. They've been doing this for a long time. Russia has been too. We're the toddler in the sandbox compared to these other nations that have been around for a very long time, have a lot of battles, some lost, some won, under their belts. And China doesn't do anything by mistake. Everything is calculated. And when they say it's a weather balloon, geez, they would have said, yeah, it's a surveillance thing. We just thought we'd try to get away with what we could. I'd be like, yep, that sounds plausible. But no, weather balloon? Yeah. That's like them saying, well, coronavirus didn't come from Wuhan. Bullshit. This is a weather balloon.
Yeah,
bullshit.
Completely deny the obvious. That's what our government does. Especially the Biden administration, which remember, folks, Biden's promise in his campaign was to be the most transparent administration. Boy,
yeah,
he sure has lived up to that promise, hasn't he?
Yeah, too far ahead of ourselves. Facts matter. And I want to play this clip because it gives a plausible scenario twist to this current event. And one of my first thoughts when I saw this balloon and it was identified as what it is, I was like, oh my gosh, what kind of payload does this thing have? Is it going to be dropping, sudden coincidences on everybody? Are we all going to die from heart attacks? Are we going to aerosol us with mRNA or COVID or... will it be
activate
an EMP
the nanobots and the COVID shot?
Exactly. I know it sounds far out, but we've had spoiler alerts on weirder things. So, I'm just going to go ahead and, give ourselves some latitude to go in those weird areas tonight. So Facts Matter has, this clip they just put out. Now, I think it's important, guy. He's got some great information. He's actually lived and worked in China, and has a really good idea of how the Chinese work and their their gameplay, their wordplay, their manipulation tactics and whatnot. So, I think without any further ado, we're going to go ahead and put Roman on and play this quick clip. It's got a lot of interesting information on there, some fodder for conversation. So let's go ahead and play this. Everybody, please stick around. excuse me, because this is a good clip, and you are going to want to listen to it in entirety. I do want to say that this is a clip that we were not able to edit, so there is some a brief advertisement for their, Facts Matter stuff, but
his ads right in the middle of it. And this, also note that they had just published this a half hour before the show started. So another reason why I had to do it, like I saw it and I'm like, oh, wow, they just posted this and get it up there. So we apologize because he does about a minute and a half or so of his ads, right in the middle of the clip. And so just sit tight with that, be patient. And stick around, don't go anywhere.
Definitely. And like Lorianne said, this was just dropped. So let's go ahead and play this real quick, and then we'll be back for discussion. We do have the chat open, and we also have our call-in number is 515-602-9722. Press number 1. That raises your hand on our studio board and lets us know that you'd like to join the conversation live on air. And we will not take your calls while we're doing the clip, but we will take your calls after the clip and include you in the discussion. So 515-602-9722, press number 1. So here we go.
Yesterday, the entire country woke up to the threat of a Chinese communist spy balloon floating above the skies of Montana. That's right, above Montana, where some of America's nuclear weapons are stored, a Chinese Communist Party surveillance balloon was suddenly spotted. And the reason that we know that this is definitively a spy balloon from China is because shortly after it was spotted, the Pentagon came out and confirmed that fact. Here's specifically what Brigadier General Mr. Pat Ryder said just yesterday. Quote, "The United States government has detected and is tracking a high-altitude surveillance balloon that is over the continental United States right now. The U.S. government, to include NORAD, continues to track and monitor it closely. The balloon is currently traveling at an altitude well above commercial air traffic and does not present a military or physical threat to people on the ground." He then said in this continuously reassuring statement that this was not the first time that such a balloon was detected. Now, apparently, what happened was that this balloon originated in China, flew over top the Aleutian Islands of Alaska, then it went down through northwest Canada before finally arriving over top Montana. And according to the Brigadier General, the balloon not only has some sort of payload underneath the surveillance component, but also this particular balloon has the power to maneuver. Here's specifically what he said.
So again, this is a surveillance balloon, operating at about 60,000 feet. Clearly, we did a very close assessment in terms of what it's doing. And as I mentioned, military commanders have assessed that there is no physical or military threat to people on the ground. And so in that regard, we'll continue to monitor.
Again, that is just amazing. Whenever I personally do any reporting out in the field, I literally cannot fly my drone in certain parts of the country because modern drones, have built-in technology which limits where they can and cannot fly based on FAA regulations. And I've known of people actually getting arrested for just flying drones in the wrong areas. And yet, here we have the Chinese Communist Party flying a maneuverable surveillance drone balloon with some sort of mysterious payload over the Pacific Ocean, over top Alaska, through Canada, over Montana, and now it's somewhere in the central part of the U.S. And actually, wait a minute. What happens when you zoom in on that balloon? That's right. What a great reminder. You should indeed smash those like and subscribe buttons. Thank you, China. Now, the obvious question here, at least one of the obvious questions, is why don't we just shoot this thing down? Why don't we just blow it up to smithereens? Well, according to statements from the Pentagon, they claim to have considered that option, but they rejected it because they're worried that by shooting the balloon down, the resulting debris might injure someone or something on the ground. This, in fact, right here was the latest statement that was released from the Department of Defense. Quote, "We know the balloon has violated U.S. airspace and international law, which is unacceptable. We have conveyed this directly to the People's Republic of China at multiple levels. We assess the balloon does not present a military or physical threat to people on the ground. We will continue to monitor and review options." If a statement like that doesn't convey military strength, I don't know what does. Now, on the flip side, the Chinese Communist Party came out with their own statement saying essentially that this whole thing was an accident. that this was actually a civilian weather balloon doing some sort of meteorological research that had, quote, deviated far from its planned course due to forces beyond its control. Basically, their argument is that this was a made-in-China balloon, and therefore, like most other made-in-China products, it just happened to malfunction. However, despite these denials from the Chinese Communist Party, many Americans, starting yesterday, began to rightfully wonder whether this was really just a dry run by the Chinese Communist Party to see how far they can get, to see whether they can indeed get such a balloon far enough into America, into mainland America, to set off something like an EMP attack. Now, in case you've never heard of it before, an EMP attack, otherwise known as an electromagnetic pulse attack, is one of the most deadly threats that's facing our country. The way that it works is that a nuclear weapon detonated in the stratosphere above the United States would completely cripple the entirety of our electrical grid and set us back 100 years in the blink of an eye. And this is not a new threat. In fact, back in the year 2001, the U.S. government authorized the creation of something called the EMP Commission in order to study the threats that this would actually pose for the country. The committee then published a report, you can see it up on your screen, and they found that an EMP attack could result in the destruction of up to 70% of the U.S. electrical grid and cause a nationwide blackout for over a year. And according to those experts, this blackout would lead ultimately to the deaths of tens of millions of Americans. And the reason for that is simple. Like it or not, we live in a time right now where almost everything we do requires some form of electricity. Every single industry that we rely on depends on electricity to function. And so without electricity, businesses would shut down. Most people wouldn't be able to heat or cool their homes. Both gas as well as oil pipelines would shut down because those systems run on electricity. And when the oil stops flowing, well, that's a hard stop for the delivery trucks providing our food. Fresh water stops flowing into people's homes. The internet obviously goes down. Phone lines stop working. Nuclear reactors are suddenly unable to maintain their core temperatures and possibly melt down, and so on and so forth. There are thousands of problems that this country would face if the electrical system were to be suddenly destroyed. And you can imagine that it wouldn't take very long before society itself begins to break down and the people begin resorting to any and all means to fight for both their own and their family's survival. Now, how many people right now in this country do you think are ready to survive a situation like that? How many people do you think have the necessary knowledge, the necessary skills, the necessary abilities, and the necessary resources to survive a situation where, in the blink of an eye, we are thrust back to pre-industrial times? Well, the researchers on that committee, they've looked deeply into this scenario, and they estimate that about only 10% of Americans have that capacity. Only 1 in 10 Americans, mostly located in rural areas far away from cities, would be able to take care of themselves. In fact, the government recently declassified a very important document, you can see it up on your screen, having to do with EMP attacks. And inside of that document was an exchange that took place in front of the Armed Services Committee, wherein Dr. William Graham, he's the chairman of the EMP Commission, he was testifying, and he presented a rather stark assessment of what America would look like following an EMP attack. Here's the transcript in its entirety. So at first, Congressman Roscoe Bartlett from Maryland asks this, quote, "I read a pre-publication copy of a book called 1 Second After. It was a story of a ballistic missile EMP attack on our country. The weapon was launched from a ship off our shore, and then the ship was sunk so that there were no fingerprints. The weapon was launched about 300 miles high over Nebraska, and it shut down our infrastructure countrywide. The story runs for a year. It is set in the hills of North Carolina. At the end of the year, 90% of our population is dead. There are 25,000 people only still alive in New York City. The communities in the hills of North Carolina are more lucky. Only 80% of their population is dead at the end of a year. Is this a realistic assessment of what a really robust EMP laydown could do to our country?" To which Dr. Graham responds by saying this, quote, "We think that is in the correct range. We don't have experience with losing the infrastructure in a country with 300 million people, most of whom don't live in a way that provides for their own food and other needs. We can go back to an era where people did live like that. That would be 10%, would be 30 million, and that is probably the range where we could survive as a basically rural economy." Although whether, at this point, the remaining Americans would be able to fend off an invasion by the Chinese communists is a whole other question. However, since we're on the topic, let me give you a brief breakdown of how an EMP attack actually works in practice. All right, the sponsor of today's episode is a phenomenal company called AMAC. That's A-M-A-C, and it stands for the Association of Mature American Citizens. They are quite literally one of the fastest growing conservative organizations in all of America, and you should consider joining for 3 main reasons. The first is the money-saving benefit, because as a member of AMAC, you get access to a ton of discounts
at many different verticals, things like vitamin stores, restaurants, retail shops, and so on and so forth. If you want to check out the full list, it's pretty exhaustive, you can do so over on AMAC's website. The second benefit is that you get exclusive access to the AMAC magazine. It'll be delivered directly to your doorstep, and it contains phenomenal coverage as well as deep analysis. And then the third benefit, the one that people say is their favorite, is that AMAC fights for your values over on Capitol Hill. In fact, you can check out the online version of this on their website. It's the AMAC Action Advocacy Annual Report, and it shows exactly what they're doing on Capitol Hill in terms of fighting what they call the socialist storm that's brewing in this country. So head on over to amac.us/factsmatter and sign up today. I'll also throw a link down in the description box below.
However, since we're on the topic, let me give you a brief breakdown of how an EMP attack actually works in practice. At its essence, a high-altitude electromagnetic pulse is achieved when a nuclear warhead gets detonated anywhere between 20 to 250 miles above the surface of the Earth. This can be achieved by strapping the bomb to something like a satellite, to an intercontinental ballistic missile, or even perhaps to a balloon. The key is just to make sure that the nuke is high up enough in the air right over the target that you want to take out. Now, one thing that you should know about nukes is that besides the destructive fireball that we all usually see in movies, the one that destroys everything in its path, a side effect of a nuclear explosion is the release of an intense pulse of electromagnetic radiation that covers everything in the line of sight from the center point of the explosion. And so here's a map to give you an idea of what this would look like in practice over top of the United States. If a nuclear warhead was detonated at about 18 miles above the Earth's surface, it would generate an EMP that would cover several states. At 62 miles, it would cover several more states. At about 130 miles, it would cover almost the entire U.S. And at an altitude of about 250 miles, it would cover not only the entirety of the continental U.S., but also giant swaths of both Canada and Mexico. Now, what's interesting to note is that unlike a typical nuclear attack, an EMP attack doesn't really have the associated physical destruction. You're not going to have buildings toppled over and cars melted to the ground. But what you will experience are all of your electronic devices immediately stop working as the electromagnetic pulse waves completely overload and fry the circuits. Everything, such as elevators, cell phones, computers, electronic billboards, your electric stove, everything shuts down. Although at this point you might be asking the obvious question, which is, how do we know this? If an EMP attack has never been done, how do we know what it actually looks like? And that's a great question. The knowledge that we have about these EMP attacks dates back to the year 1962. When the U.S. was conducting nuclear experiments off the coast of Hawaii. At that time, the U.S. government had reason to worry that if the Soviet Union were to detonate a nuclear bomb in space, it could either damage or destroy our intercontinental missiles. And so the U.S. government authorized and conducted something called Project Fishbowl, where they set up a series of high-altitude nuclear weapon tests to find out for themselves what would happen when a nuclear weapon detonates so far up into the sky. And one of those tests was called Starfish Prime. And it was during this Starfish Prime experiment that the U.S. learned about the dangers of an EMP attack for the very first time. What happened was that a nuclear device was set off at an altitude of about 250 miles above Johnston Island over in the Pacific Ocean, which was high up enough into the air and far away enough from mainland Hawaii that the scientists thought that it was safe. But the experiment proved otherwise. That's because in Hawaii, which is about 900 miles away from the blast, you saw streetlights beginning to fail, circuit breakers that were tripped, alarms that were triggered, and a communications relay that was damaged. Additionally, going in the opposite direction, several U.S. satellites that were in orbit at the time were also damaged by the resulting EMP. And it was at that moment, right there during that experiment, that these nuclear scientists realized that an EMP blast was a danger. But the U.S. was not alone in this testing. That's because starting in October of that same year, in 1962, the Russians also detonated several nuclear explosions, this time over Kazakhstan, in order to calculate the impact of an EMP blast on the electrical grid. They eventually wound up conducting 7 of these nuclear experiments, changing up the height of the blast as well as the payload of the bomb in order to assess the difference in damage when you change up those variables. Now, while the total results of those experiments are still partially classified, back in the year 1994, during the peace agreements between Russia and America, some of the findings were handed over to U.S. scientists. And according to what the Russians revealed to the U.S. scientists, and then what subsequently the U.S. scientists revealed to me and you, the common plebs here in America, the EMP blasts over Kazakhstan, they destroyed transformers, they destroyed generators, entire communication systems, they destroyed switchboards, and almost all electronic devices. And so, if you were an up-and-coming world power like China, and you're looking at the United States, which is a technologically superior country that you might not be able to win in a head-to-head match, well, what do you do? The answer is obvious. You destroy the very foundation, of the infrastructure that makes your enemy superior. And by the way, that is not a speculation. For instance, there is a Chinese textbook published by the People's Liberation Army called The Third World War, Total Information Warfare. And as a part of their doctrine, or rather as a part of their curriculum, here's what the textbook reads. Quote, therefore, China should focus on measures to counter computer viruses, nuclear electromagnetic pulse, and quickly achieve breakthroughs in those technologies in order to equip China without delay with equivalent deterrence that will enable it to stand up to the military powers in the information age and neutralize and check the deterrence of Western powers, including the United States. And this is not just an academic argument confined to the pages of a textbook. In fact, as recently as March of 2020, the Chinese Communist Party was openly threatening the use of EMP devices against American naval ships over in the South China Sea, meaning that this is a real threat that the Chinese Communist Party is very open to flexing about. And now today, while the biggest topic of discussion in America is whether transgender inmates should be allowed within female prisons, well, there's a Chinese balloon slowly making its way to the center of our country, and for some reason, the Pentagon just refuses to shoot it down. If you'd like to go deeper into the story and read more about either this balloon or the history of EMP devices, I'll throw several links down into the description box below this video for you to check out. And then lastly, I'd love to give a big shout out to Mr. Eric Schumacher, our awesome researcher who helped pull together all the research about the history and dangers of these EMP attacks. He's currently holed up in his bunker getting ready for doomsday. And if you'd like to be a little bit more ready for yourself, then you can check out the link that's down in the description box below for an awesome supplement called Elderberry Extract. It's loaded with antioxidants.
Welcome back to the show. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and cut off that last ad. So, Lori-Ann and everybody out there listening, Roman made a really good point at the tail end of that clip, and I hate to segue right to the end of the clip, but he's referencing textbooks. Chinese have textbooks on this type of war play. And I don't like to call it war play, but it's not a game either. And it is a craft. I should say warcraft. I mean, these people have it down to a textbook. And while our school children and our military and our, well, they're not our leaders, this illegitimate administration is focusing on pronouns and gender BS, the rest of the world is actually doing their homework and preparing. And now we find ourselves looking up in the sky right at this imminent threat. This is a imminent threat not only to national security. National security is your security. It's our investment as Americans. It's hundreds of years of building up to this moment. And I, for one, you know, right at the beginning of the show, I was bitching about, you know, chopping wood and getting water and getting my own food and stuff. Well, it has its, you know, golden side too, whereas I'm a little harder to reach than the rest of you all, you know, living
well, yeah,
in,
like you
on
are,
a
you
remote
are one
island.
Of the people, in addition to my nephew, that you are living almost pretty close to a life where if there's an EMP attack, you are outfitted with everything that you need, including the knowledge of how to live without electricity. You know, chopping wood,
yep.
Doing everything, you know, you are the, you and my
filtering
nephew are probably
water,
the two closest people I know that,
food.
Yes, everything, you know, hunting, managing it all, having, you know, an area where you'll do some planting and things, you know how to can, you know, you have all of these survival skills that in this clip, you know, 90% of us U.S. in the U.S. have none of these skills or very few.
Yeah, we're used to living off grid. So, I mean, I'm on grid right now, but if the power went out, all I got to do is flip a switch. And here we go. I'm good to go. And it is, and I after listening to this clip, I'm not going to bitch about living in temporarily in the 400 square foot cabin. I literally have my pantry shelves from my previous house in my small bedroom here. So when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I see is just rows and rows and rows of freeze-dried food and canned food and delicious stuff that I've canned myself, salmon and venison and whatnot. But, that way I don't have to run my freezers to keep – if my freezers go down, it's just time to have a barbecue, baby. You know, we're going to go ahead and cook us up some good stuff and eat it
and
up before
by the way,
it all melts. But I have plenty of
when
other
your
stuff.
House is
yes.
done – When your house is done and you're living in your house, do you know how many people are going to be vying for like, hey, when all shit hits the fan, I want that little cabin that you've been staying in. You're going to have like, you're going to have like an auction as far as like, okay, who am I going to give this cabin to?
Well, we actually have a storm shelter up from the house and cabin because my house is so close on the water. You know, we do have typhoons and we have a tsunami, you know, small tsunamis. We've had tsunamis here since I've bought the place decades
ago.
Ooh,
you'll get an even bigger price for that storm shelter.
Yeah. So we've got the storm shelter and there's bunk beds set up in the boat shed and stuff. So, you know, heck, poop hits the fan, y'all. You know, whoever, I'll have a lottery and pick the sharpshooters and the people that don't mind skinning and curing hides. And, no, but seriously, to get back
well,
on
topic.
Well,
that means
topic,
I'm SOL because I'm going to have to be taught all that. Although as a kid, I got to admit one skill that I did develop, thank you, Grandpa Trandall, was catching chickens. I can catch a chicken.
I don't even
if
want
we need
to
have a chicken
catching.
For dinner, I can catch it.
I don't even want to talk about catching chickens. Oh, I thought I was doing a good deed, and I let my neighbor's chickens out for them today. And the wife sends me a message, don't let the chickens out. We got new chickens. Well, I didn't even think to count them when I went out there, you know. And so I was chasing chickens and stuff before the husband got home. And
I didn't even know that, you all. I told this story, and I had no idea that Dahl just went through this today, you guys. This was not planned, but how ironic.
Yeah, I'm in my work gear and my thermals and everything, and I'm chasing these chickens, sweating, you know, just sweating to beat all. Oh, I was just, in fact, I had to wash all my gear after that. But anyway, so to get back to these Chinese punks that want to invade America and Joe Biden's just, what the heck is going on with that? How could anybody be that daft? I mean, all right, so, you know, you look at his administration, and it's a real interesting bunch of people that are on the front burner, the people we see being as mouthpieces. You know, you got...
Yeah, like, where's
Lloyd
their balls? Like, you can almost see in the interviews,
Lloyd.
You know? Like, you know, they're literally mad about this, but they're having to say, you know, they're having to appease the Biden administration here. We have top military officials that are absolutely fuming about this, and you can see it in their face. You can see it in their demeanor, but they're having to toe the line and say what the White House wants them to say anyways. You can see it. It's like, where's their balls, man? You know, like, this is a treasonous offense. And, you know, they need to start speaking up more and more and more, saying, no way, Jose, you know, our president is compromised. This is unacceptable. And, you know, That's my opinion anyways. You know, I'm not, you know, one to support a whole lot of insubordination, but, you know, part of the oath they take is to defend our Constitution, you know, and against enemies, foreign and domestic. And Biden, with this, and his administration and whoever he's getting his orders from, they are, and you say illegitimate government, you know, illegitimate president, you're absolutely right. And this is absolute proof of it. He needs to be out. He needs to be put up on charges of treason along with everybody that is in collusion with him. And, you know, our military, our third, you know, our branch of government, you know, that is, you know, our military personnel that take their oaths to protect we the people in the United States and our Constitution, you know, they need to live up to their oath, and they need to live it up to it right now, including our legislative branches of the government. They need to be on this as well. Like, it needs to happen, and it needs to happen now.
Yeah, and, you know, as far as gathering intelligence, that is the lamest answer they could have given the American people. The Chinese do not need a balloon to float over the United States of America, the greatest republic in the world, to gather intelligence. Not when they have TikTok. Not when they have all of these operatives working right in concert with the United States. Right when the illegitimate president is, his son has major ties to China. In fact, the big guy Joe has major ties to China. In fact, he has boasted traveling thousands of miles with Xi. I mean, I just that.
That's something to brag about now,
speechless.
You know.
Exactly.
They never,
and the
well,
fact,
for anything
the
he's ever
that
said
not
or done.
Anything. That Joe Biden has not given one statement on this, and I know you're not a fan of Trump, and I know a lot of people aren't. You know, love him or not. You know, I'd rather have Trump there right now than Biden. Okay, there's no secret.
Oh, yeah.
People
even
know
I said
that
earlier.
Know?
I was like, this would not be happening under Trump. If China tried to pull this crap on us, which they wouldn't have, but if they did, Trump would have blown that thing out of the sky the very second it hit U.S. airspace.
Exactly. But was not an illegitimate president. He didn't have a cabinet picked for him by Biden and his puppet master handlers. And
Obama,
you need to remember who's. Biden. That's what I call the illegitimate president. But Obama, you know, he's got Obama. He's got the puppet masters. He's got I do believe that the Biden's handlers are the One World Order. It's Soros. It is Obama. It is, you know, Klaus Schwab. It's all of these people. And it's just mind-boggling that they, chose the meat puppet, that meat puppet. I guess he was the easiest one, the most malleable one to control. You know, when they needed a illegitimate president. You know, he's a liar. He's been a liar his entire life. He's a liar now. But the silence says more than his lies.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is
and I don't think that, like,
is Joe Biden,
they will not even allow anybody to
right
question
now?
Him on this.
Exactly. But I want to know, where is the illegitimate president of the United States of America right now? Is he completely incapacitated that he cannot reassure the American people that one of the greatest threats in our U.S. space right now, that we're okay, that they have it under control? Because Trump would be on TV right now saying, hey, don't worry, we already shot it down. We've got that stuff. We took care of that. We took care of that, you know, in his New York accent. I can't do a Trump imitation, but we took care of that.
Yeah, I mean,
when it was over no man's land. In fact, it didn't even hit Canada before we had that bitch in the back of back of my Mercedes. But back of my limo. But you know, and in that clip that Roman played, you have this public official saying that it is a surveillance balloon with a, you know, satellite surveillance stuff and a payload. What is in that
and
payload?
An unknown payload. Unknown payload.
Unknown payload.
Those two words should scare you right there. Unknown payload.
Right there.
You know, like.
So where is the commander-in-chief to say, saying, don't worry, we've got this under control? No, what have we've heard from his talking heads? Oh, you know, we know it's there. We know they're gathering intelligence over the most, you know, intelligence-sensitive parts of the United States of America. We know all that. You know, we're just going to go ahead and let them land it on their ship over, because they've got ships. The Russian, for the first time in years, is over on the Atlantic side of the Eastern Seaboard. So who's not to say that China didn't have a ship, or Russia, like you said earlier, we don't know if it came from Russia or if it came from China. It is Chinese, but was it launched off a, and Chinese are prevalent right here off, you know, in coastal waters of Alaska. So not only do we have Russians,
and it just seems even the media coverage
Chinese,
on this,
please.
Nobody seems to be asking the question, where did this thing launch from? You know, nobody seems to be asking that question. And I'm really, I'm irritated by that, actually.
And also, you would think it'd be a, and something else nobody's talking about is the meat puppet, a.k.a. O'Biden, will be doing State of the Union Tuesday night in Washington, D.C., with all of our public officials in one place. Now, supposedly it's taken...
It's like Designated Survivor. Have you ever watched Designated Survivor?
Lorianne, let me finish. Let me finish.
Sorry, but it's reminding me of that.
All right. Yeah, you're going to make me lose my track. But anyway, so if... No, that's okay. I'm just teasing you. So if it's taken a couple days for this craft to get from the Aleutian Islands to Middle America, it's only going to take a couple more days to get to D.C. What the hell are they waiting for? Exactly. Now, Lorianne, you can do Designated Survivor.
Well, I don't know. Have you ever seen the show? Did you ever check it out when it came out?
I have.
At all?
I have, yes.
Yeah. You know, and it's all
that's
about, like,
no,
Designated Survivor.
Person, but yes, I've seen it.
Yeah. Well, Designated Survivor, the TV show with Kiefer Sutherland, it's all about during the State of the Union address, our enemy or whatever blows up the entire Capitol because, of course, all of the state heads are in one place during the State of the Union address. But there's a thing called Designated Survivor where there is one member of Congress that is selected and is put into a secure, unknown location. Only a select few people know where this person is. In case of the event that very scenario happens, and therefore there's at least one member of Congress that is in a secure location and can resume the presidency and leadership of the country for continuation, basically. And so that's like a real thing. And so everybody but one person, you know, that is a head of state, unless somebody's sick or something and can't make it, all of our, you know, Senate and Congress and president and vice president, everybody that is in line of succession is in one place at the same time during the State of Union address. And then the show takes off from there. It's very realistic, actually. And it actually was a really good show. I think that it got canceled way sooner than it should have. But the reality of that situation, imagine if that were to happen in 2023 with inflation so high already. We already have food shortages. We've had the food processing plant sabotage. You know, we've had cyber attacks. We've had power outages. We've had, for the second time in U.S. history, we grounded all U.S. flights because of a supposed computer glitch. They're calling it a glitch, but I think that I really very much suspect that it was Russia and or China cyber attack that that was the cause of that whole, you know, supposed glitch that resulted in, like I said, the second time in U.S. history where all flights were grounded. That's a big thing. And now we have this Chinese balloon. Like, you know, we got to start seeing the dots here, you know, is the point I'm trying to make. It's like there's so many things that are, there's all these dots out there and people just aren't thinking and trying to put these dots together to create the picture that is the truth. Okay, I'll shut up now. Thank you.
But you know, that it's so, when I was chopping wood this morning, that thought came to my head. It's like once, you know, because I'd chase chickens and I'd chop wood and I'd work on the house and then I'd come in and do a little show research and then, you know, they revealed that this balloon isn't like today. This has been going on for a couple of days. And my first thought was, well, crap, you know, we have State of the Union on Tuesday. And so I tuned in to hear the security briefing at noon that the Pentagon put out. And of course, in true, you know, Pentagon fashion, they just talked in circles. None of the journalists got, you know, any good, you know, and any real useful information. But it was revealed then during that Pentagon news conference that that it had been, you know, floating around for a couple of days. And I started thinking to myself, well, we got State of the Union address, and if this thing is self-propelled, you know, it could potentially be on the Eastern Seaboard by Tuesday. And why aren't they asking any of these questions? Why are they not asking this of the Pentagon? Of course, the Pentagon would have said, oh, that's, you know, not, you know, on our radar and people shouldn't be concerned. No, the time to shoot that down, we've missed the time to shoot that down. And that's what started getting me to think.
Deliberately past the time that we could shoot it down without a whole lot of like property damage considerations and stuff like that. You know, you said it's past the time to shoot it down. And I said, yeah, and that's deliberate. You know, it's deliberate that Biden and his administration have allowed it to. You know, that's the key point. You know, our government, our military, our president is allowing this. You know, like, I cannot impress that enough. They are allowing it. It's deliberate.
Yeah, it's just amazing. And you look at, you know, some of the the comments by, you know, previous Defense Secretary Leon Panetta stated that the Chinese spy balloon over the U.S. is gathering intelligence and that the U.S. either needs to intercept it or shoot it down if that's the last alternative, and that simply letting the balloon go out to sea is not an option. And Panetta went on to say, I think the United States has to take control of this balloon. There are two things that are a great concern here. One that's been determined to be a surveillance balloon, which means that it's gathering intelligence. That's the purpose of surveillance. So what are the Chinese using it for? And secondly, it's maneuverable, which means the Chinese basically have control of direction. It's purposely invaded our airspace. It's obviously, Lorianne, invaded our sovereignty. You know, if we were to, if the United States of America were to do this in Taiwan or China, it would be an act of war. The Chinese would not screw around. It would be a complete act of war. They would act on it. They would take control of that craft and gather what they could from it. We're not seeing that. And as constituents and shareholders in this country, in this great republic, we have the right to security. And we are not being, and I'm not saying the government needs to, you know, don't govern me harder, Daddy. That's not what I'm asking. But what I'm asking for is the government to do its damn job. And they're not. And when they don't do their job, when they behave in this manner, the only logical conclusion I can come to is that they're working in concert with the enemy.
Which is treason. It's treason. It's treason to be working with the enemy and allowing this to happen, to allow deliberately an act of war to transpire over several days by this balloon that with an unknown payload. That's why it's the threat, you guys. You might think that it's, oh, it's just this balloon, ha, ha, ha. But that balloon has a quote-unquote unknown payload. Come on now.
Exactly.
That's the part to focus on. That is an act of war. And every single minute that Biden and his administration allows this thing to continue floating over U.S. airspace without being intercepted by fighter jets that we have all over the U.S. skies at any given time, to allow this is treason. How is it not? I dare anybody to try to convince me that this is not an act of treason. Call in right now. Call in right now on the show and give me any logical argument how this is not treason. An open invitation.
Exactly. I mean, you know, is Biden sitting there going, geez, what would Z do?
Exactly.
As
what he's
Zelensky.
Doing.
Not she, but Z. I'm sorry, I should have just said Zelensky. What would Zelensky do? Because he has such a hard-on for Zelensky. And, you know, look at all of these assets going to the Ukraine. We have tanks. We have probably millions of rounds of ammunition. All this other crap they're sending to, you know, Ukraine. Billions of dollars. Billions of dollars. That sounds like a hell of a bug out bag to me. You know, who's not to say that these people aren't going to bug out, fake their own death, and just run off with the Americans' money? I know it sounds crazy, and I'm not saying that's what's happening, but it is a scenario. Who's not to say Nancy Pelosi and Biden and Hunter and Camel Toes. They're just taking
Camel Toes.
We're running off to Ukraine with our money and our military assets. Seriously, think about it. Supposedly, we don't have, I mean, we've got some training people over in Poland and stuff, but we supposedly do not have U.S. military personnel in the Ukraine. So, I mean, this it's like a bug-out scenario. Complete bug-out. They've got their money cash, you know, cash and money set up, a corrupt country to run to. And they could all fake their deaths and then do away with the rest of Senate and Congress in one fell swoop, and then could would implode and they'd come back as a different kind of, you know, commander-in-chief or whatever. I mean, I've said things that sounded crazier and they've come true. So,
well, I know, you know, I think that in the last 2.5 years, even the most crazy scenarios that we talked about 10 years ago that seemed like science fiction or extreme hypotheses, you know, and things to think about, that used to just be totally just off the wall, just, you know, in hypothetical thinking, is becoming reality more and more and more. We've seen it over the last 2.5 years, how only in our wildest dreams, you know, is coming reality. And so when we do it now, when we hypothesize now, as far as what's going on right now and continuing on in the future and where we see things probably going, seems so far-fetched, but yet is actual reality. You know, I joked about activating nanobots. Well, after all of these COVID shots, after all of the videos showing people that just got the COVID shots, these little nanobots being activated and their little stringy things coming out, you know, maybe this is a part of it. Maybe, you know, something like an innocuous balloon, you know, it's not a military drone. That would be shot out. That'd be too obvious. But to have this, you know, seemingly innocuous balloon that, oh, it just strayed off course unexpectedly, could very well be something that triggers all those nanobots that 80% of the U.S. population have taken the jabs, and world population. And it, on average, it's something between, you know, 70-75%, you know, worldwide for the most part that have gotten the COVID jabs. And so, you know, what if this is like testing out an ability to activate that? That might be the unknown payload, is that, you know, sending the signal, and let's see, you know, the results. Did it work? Are these little nanobots getting activated, and are we going to start seeing the stuff happen that, you know, we wanted to have happen? Is it yet another Chinese experiment? COVID was a Chinese experiment, partially funded by our own government. We can't deny that anymore. And so is this the next test? I think it's certainly possible. I might be totally wrong, and I certainly hope I am, but the possibility exists that, as far-fetched as it might be, as you might think it is, in this day and age, are you really going to dismiss it offhand and maybe go, is there some legitimacy to my train of thought here?
Yeah, and no, you're not. And, you know, you have to look, too, at, you know, some of the things that are going on around the United States right now. So right prior to the balloon appearing over the United States, we had Blinken, Anthony Blinken, in the Philippines. Now, remember, the Philippines kicked us out They didn't want military bases there. They shut down one of the biggest assets there, you know, forced us out, showed us the back of their hands. And we went back there groveling. Blinken was there groveling, and they secured 4 military assets of great advantage in the Philippines just this week. Excuse me. And now Blinken was supposed to go to China directly after that. And lo and behold, the mysterious balloon and payload show up in, you know, U.S. airspace. And Blinken's trip to China was canceled. It wasn't postponed. It's indefinitely postponed.
Canceled.
Indefinitely.
Not happening.
Not
well, if
happening.
I was him, I wouldn't want to be anywhere near China right now. You don't go to China while they're in the middle of doing this. And you don't plan to visit them, you know. Well, I'll visit you once, you know, we've shot down your balloon and we've learned what we need to from it.
Well, what's interesting was the conversation we were having a few minutes ago, you know, about the designated survivor stuff. So they're bringing back, you know, the Pacific, they're bringing back a military asset, which is, you know, Anthony Blinken. And it's just really interesting because, you know, he is a Secretary of State. I mean, this isn't, you know, just some Joe Blow. This is Secretary of State. They're bringing back from important negotiations in the Pacific. So after securing these military assets in the Philippines, he's coming running back to the United States. If I were the president, I'd tell my diplomat to get his ass in China and deal with the Chinese. Not diplomat, I mean, but Secretary of State. I mean, like, this is your job.
Yeah, that's
go
the
to
Secretary
China
of State's
and play
job.
Hardball. Go over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you got to put,
you know,
you got to play defense and throw some balls.
Yeah. You don't run back to the United States and go, oh, no, and then, oh, don't want to shoot down the balloon and cause aggressions. You know, what is really going on here?
You don't want an international incident. It's like it's already an international
exactly.
incident, asshole, you know. Sorry.
We'll go secure military assets in the Philippines, but we're not going to, you know, engage with you in person. I mean, so there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that we, like I said, we the people, we the constituents, we the shareholders in this country need to be in the know. We should not be. Why should 300 people, let's say 300 people with all the politicians and stuff, be in the know and millions of us not have an idea what's going on?
Then we got to, you know, that article that you shared with me about John Kerry. John Kerry having meetings with the equivalent of, you know, equivalent person from China, not disclosing what's really discussed, and nobody's blinking an eye about that either.
Exactly. And, you
we're
know,
just
John
discussing
Kerry's
climate, that's it.
Yeah. You know, and I want you to keep in mind, too, John Kerry's got a role that was created for him that's never been held in any other type of administration. I'm trying to find the link here that I sent to you, but it's really, really interesting because, all right, so for example, I had sent this to Lorianne, and I actually put it up on the Alaska Patriot Network page, but the House Oversight Committee, Comer, is probing Special Presidential Envoy for Climate, John Kerry's job in the Biden administration as climate negotiations with CCP. Now, Kerry has not responded to these requests to talk to the oversight, you know, committee for this stuff. But Kerry has been reportedly been holding quote unquote climate negotiations with his Chinese counterpart. Kerry holds a cabinet level position in the Biden administration that did receive a Senate confirmation. Now, to date, Comer says to Kerry, you failed to respond to any of our requests. You continue to engage in activities that would undermine our economic health, skirt congressional authority, and threaten foreign policy under the guise of climate advocacy. Kerry was appointed to the position, which previously did not exist at the beginning of the Biden administration, but it is housed in the State Department with an annual budget of $13.9 million and has only 45 personnel. Kerry sits on the National Security Council as well as Biden's cabinet. Kerry continues to downplay CCP's
more
human
dots
rights
to put together, folks.
Exactly. So Kerry's continued to downplay the CCP's human rights violations and antagonism against the United States while promoting climate negotiations that the CCP does not even appear interesting in entering. In addition to his recent notion that CCP's behavior should be decoupled from our attempts to enter into climate agreements. So this is Kerry has full access to the State Department, which is national security, financial security, he has everything.
But nothing
everything
to be
just
concerned
like
about, folks, because he's all good.
He is not key role that he's playing. He's out there meeting with the Saudis. He's doing all kinds of stuff. Now, right before he became this special envoy climate person, you know, who's got, you know, their own staff, you know, almost a $14 million a year budget, 45 people, he was a private citizen for a while after his, you know, stint in politics. Now, during that time that he was a quote unquote private citizen, he has been in North Korea, Vietnam, China lots, Ukraine, and some other dubious nations as a private citizen. Comes as a holding a cabinet position. So he was out there lobbying, making allies. I see Kerry as a double agent, and his climate policy is just a cover for just that. He's a double agent, and he is part of this band of really bad characters that are actively engaging in, you know, I expected World War III to come from outside the United States. I didn't think that the groundwork for it would happen within our own country. Lorianne.
Well, yeah, you know, like conspiracy theory is that Pearl Harbor was allowed to happen because Americans had wanted nothing to do with getting involved with, you know, another world war. And so Pearl Harbor was allowed to happen in order to justify it. And so, you know, is it really so implausible to think that this somewhat, you know, quote-unquote innocent balloon from China with a quote-unquote unknown payload could be like another Pearl Harbor type of situation being allowed to happen, the attack allowing it to happen, knowing full well it's going to happen? You know, that's been a conspiracy theory, but yet, you know, I can't help but think by allowing this Chinese spy balloon with an unknown payload that could be anything, including trigger a huge EMP, you know, that could very well be, you know, like allowing that. It kind of gives credence to that whole conspiracy theory about Pearl Harbor. You know, because like we're potentially allowing the same kind of thing to happen now. And then on that note, while I was listening to you, it triggered my head as far as state rights. And I wish Pianki had called in tonight. He's probably sleeping, but you know, this would be right up Pianki's alley too with states' rights, because you know we have this balloon not only going over United States airspace, but what rights do the states have? What you would think that a governor with this potential threat transversing over their skies, what are the states' rights? What rights does the governor have to go, hey, National Guard for my state, I want you to get this sucker down? That's another good question that nobody is asking. What rights does a state governor have? If that thing was flying over the state of Oregon right now, what rights would my governor have to implement our Oregon National Guard, that sucker down, and not
right,
rely
well,
on a federal government
ahead,
that is obviously failing to do so?
That. I will go ahead and answer that to you. So 49 U.S. Code 40103, Sovereignty and Use of Airspace. The United States government has exclusive sovereignty of airspace of the United States. And a citizen, or, yeah, so all airspace is U.S. government. We
yeah,
do
but
not
it's not
escape.
In the Constitution, is it? It's not in the Constitution. That is a federal law. And so, therefore, does a state governor have jurisdiction over their own airspace, over their own skies, as per state rights? Because that is a U.S. code, you know, a U.S. law, but that's a federal law. That's not part of the Constitution, is it? Because if it's not...
Yeah.
And then, to me, that would give a state governor authority to take care of whatever threat might be right over their own skies, over their own territory. Good debate,
you know,
topic,
and,
huh?
And it's kind of interesting because now I'm looking and I am seeing a couple different So airspace is, it says the United States government has exclusive sovereignty. Yeah, and it looks like states do not have, see now, and I'm getting, all right, I hate to do this, folks, but.
I know, I posed a good question, didn't I? That's why I wish Pianki was on right now, or even Nathan, because this is an excellent debate where it's like, hey, federal government, you know, you're abusing your authority here, and even though under federal law, the federal government has jurisdiction over the skies, but what happens when you fail to do your duty to defend our skies and we have a threat right over our heads in our own state. I believe because state governments, remember guys, our Constitution and federal laws are only there as an agreement between all 50 states. It is not a our Constitution is not a contract between the federal government and states. It is a contract between states that authorizes, number one, the creation and maintenance of a federal government, and number two, with the limited authority the states give them. So, with that in mind, when our federal government, who has been given authorization to secure our borders, which includes our airspace, and they fail to do so, they fail. They break the contract. They are in violation of the contract that is the Constitution of the United States right now. And so therefore, in my opinion, our state governors have more authority over our federal government and have therefore full authority to protect their own skies and authorize their own state National Guard to do so. Again, anybody out there, we have about less than 20 minutes left for you to call in, but call in, debate me on this. Am I so wrong in my thoughts?
A lot of the information I was able to glean from has to do with aircraft, which would, be in play here because this is a, aircraft. But, from what I can glean, a state, do state laws apply in the air? And that has a lot to do with, what you can and cannot do on an aircraft in the air and stuff. But it appears, do U.S. state governors have jurisdictions over airspace? And it's not clear. And it doesn't discuss this type of stuff like legal recourse for a state over invasions over their state. Does that make sense? So like Christy Noem couldn't say, shoot that shit down now. I think that's why, nobody's shot it down yet. Because I know Montana was opposed to it. I know Wyoming was opposed to it. I know North Dakota was opposed to it.
Oh, yeah. But it would take a hell of a courageous governor to defy the U.S. government and say, hey, you guys are failing your job. This is airspace over my state that I govern, and therefore I'm going to override you. That'll take some balls.
Yeah.
It could be career ending, or it could, definitely secure their next election, or that their successor absolutely has to be supportive of that position, or they have no hope to get elected to replace them. Think about it that way. So it could work for the advantage,
but
or it could work for the negative.
We have this scenario where is this thing going to be on Tuesday? I mean, I can't imagine why people are not asking that question. Where is this going? Where has it been? It's just people are doing the Chicken Little thing, looking up at the sky, but they're not saying the world's ending. They're just like, oh, two moons. I don't even feel the outrage. Where is the outrage that this is happening?
Because they support Biden because he's so much better than Trump. And so, and therefore, Biden dismissing it and not doing anything, they're going to support him no matter what, But that's
well, it's
changing,
not
but
Trump.
Still. And well, in their mind,
well,
you know, in their minds he is, no
yes,
matter what.
Of course.
It doesn't matter what the guy does. Yes. These Biden loyalists that voted for him will not and refuse to see anything wrong with anything that he's done, and they cheer for it. They're out there, folks. You know, we don't want to think so, but they're out there. These total, like, Biden brainwashed people. I mean, and they're the ones that are like, yeah, you know, Biden's doing this for a reason, you know, like, yeah, they'll make excuses for him until, you know, a nuclear bomb goes off right in their face.
Yeah, and I hate to say it, but maybe one of the reasons Biden hasn't said a damn thing on this because they have him hidden in the bunker. But then that blows my other theory out of the water. You know, that they'll all go run off to Ukraine and fake their deaths and let the whole Republicans go. And AOC.
Yeah, you know, like how Biden's campaign supposedly is home like 90% of the time.
Exactly. His bunker in Delaware.
That was his whole campaign.
Well, you know, it'll be really interesting to see how this all plays out. You know, I mean, you know, you've got this illegitimate administration who's tanked our economy, bilked American taxpayers out of billions of dollars for a war, mind you, quote unquote war in Ukraine that nobody sees pictures of. Nobody's hearing firsthand accounts from. You know, that's unheard of. It was constant. Every night on the news, this is a journalist from Afghanistan or Iraq broadcasting live from Iraq. Oh, kaboom, bombs going off behind him, shrapnel and bricks falling and everything. And Ukraine, big nothing burger. We've dumped more money in Ukraine, dollar for dollar, than in a short period of time than we did overall in 20 years in Afghanistan. Think about it. I'm not saying that we've spent that much money already, but dollar for dollar, day for day, and military assets.
And within the same amount of time, yeah.
Yes, and let us not forget the, you know, billions of dollars in assets that we just abandoned over in Afghanistan.
Oh,
and,
yeah. And now Russia is trying to make a deal with the Taliban to buy some of those U.S. weapons that we abandoned. And then, you know, if it goes to Russia, it's going to be shared with China. I mean, that's a given. You know, China is using Russia to be the third-party buyer.
Yeah, and I don't even think they want it for military assets. They want it for intelligence. They want to know exactly
Absolutely.
How our equipment works.
That's what its value is, to know what our technology really is.
Exactly. When you have an idea of that technology, those computers and those high-tech, you know, tanks and stuff, yeah. You've got communications, you've got, you know, GPS.
Well, it's not just that, but it's also surveillance systems, you know, high-end cameras, security systems,
and
in addition to
then
the weapons.
Then you know.
Yeah.
Exactly. Then they know what each weapon's Achilles heel is. You don't have to barge that weapon with, you know, a bunch of ammo. You just need to hit it right there. And that's what you do. One bullet. Right in that one spot.
Yeah.
Find that
and to learn
spot.
How to bypass it.
And that's what they're doing. Gathering that intelligence through those discarded assets. I mean, this is literally.
I wouldn't be surprised if China is using this balloon to gather, like, if you look at the areas that it's going over, you know that they're buying farmland and stuff, you know, so they're using this for strategic planning, just like North Dakota.
Well, yeah.
North Dakota, they want to buy this farmland, you know, this farmland that is like literally less than like 10 miles away from one of our U.S. military facilities there. From our nuclear silos.
Yeah. From nuclear silos.
You know, do you just think that China innocently just wants to buy this farmland so that they can ship the corn to their country? Of course not. This is strategic. And so with this balloon, this is, could very well be another means by which for them to surveil and look at the land that they could potentially buy strategically. Why? Because we allow it. We would never be allowed to do that in China. And that's the second point people should walk away with tonight, is China would never allow us to do that. A U.S. citizen, we cannot go and own land in China. A U.S. company cannot go and own land. We can lease land from the government. The government can say, okay, we'll lease you this land and you can build your building and we'll give you permission and we're going to take a cut of that, you know. But you don't own it. You don't even own that building after you build it. The Chinese government still is allowed to have overriding authority on that building that you paid to build. You have no mineral rights. You have no water rights. Nothing. You know, we could not do that in China. But yet our government is allowing it. Even our state governments are allowing it to happen here in the United States on our soil. And that's the another takeaway that people need to think about.
And look at what the CCP is doing to its own people, the Chinese. And you know, I don't want anybody, and I'm not doing the whole woke bullshit here. But when I say this comment that, you know, I'm doing the woke bullshit, but you know, I know Lorianne, and Lorianne knows me, and all of you should know us by now. This is nothing against Chinese. This conversation and this escalation.
Most of the Chinese people are just as irritated with their government as we are. That should be noted, yeah.
Exactly. It has to do with the CCP. Now, and I bring that up because if you look at what the CCP is doing to their own people, what makes you think they're going to cut us any latitude, any platitude, you know, and give us any breathing room or not just bring down the sickle hard on us? They have nothing to lose.
In one word, mercy. What makes you think the Chinese government is going to show United States people any mercy? And when they don't show their own people mercy.
So, Lorianne, we're just about, this episode is just completely flown by. But before we end the live broadcast, why don't you go ahead and plug your show for Sunday?
Yes. I have a feeling that we will be continuing some of this conversation.
You know we will.
On Sunday. Yeah, and then, of course, there'll be other topics to talk about, too. You know me with gun control, and gun control topic is alive and well the last week or two to discuss, too. So tune in to the Lucid Libertarian Show here on Blog Talk Radio on Sunday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to midnight Eastern Time. Join me, join Doll, where, like she said, we switch sides and she takes the co-host chair, and it'll be a great show, and you're invited to call in. We'd love to have people call in and give their opinions, so it'll be a great time. Oh, and then also, let me also plug Beyond the Mainstream. I am a regular caller in Donnie C's show here on Blog Talk Radio. Really great show. I am a regular calling into his show on Saturday night, which is also 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to midnight Eastern. Usually goes into overtime as well. So it's a really great show, beyond the mainstream. So if you want to talk more politics, I'm sure that they will bring some of this stuff up too with the balloon, and then who knows what else. And then, so yeah, if you're around Saturday night, call in then too, and then Sunday night with my show, Lucid Libertarian.
Thank you. Yeah, so some we didn't talk about before we end this broadcast is, you know, national, there's another balloon. So the Pentagon, and this happened right before we got on air, but the Pentagon's confirmed a second Chinese balloon flying over Latin America. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah. And apparently the U.S. government says another Chinese balloon, spy balloon is, and I just hate to call it a spy balloon. I just don't even think that's what it is. Who knows what they got on there? But anyway, so another one is traveling over Latin America. We're seeing reports of a balloon transiting Latin America. Brigadier General Pat Ryder, a Pentagon spokesman, said,
"Is it going over Venezuela by chance?"
Well, I don't know. I'll tell you in a second. So we now assess it is another Chinese surveillance balloon, Ryder said during a briefing Thursday, blah, blah, blah. Confident is from China. The balloon was... All right, so now they're saying... All right, so that's all they've got on it. That's all I could find. I've been looking for other news sources on it. I could check ON and see One American News and see what they've got.
The silence being deafening on this in the media is also questionable. There's a second one.
Well,
why isn't it splattered all over? And then South America,
really
we want to think
question.
That that's, you know, is I asked if it's over Venezuela because Venezuela, huge oil producer, which we have sanctions on and stuff, and yet Biden's been begging Venezuela to help us, you know, with, you know, oil and gas to help lower prices. Don't forget that.
Well, yeah, and, so, you know, look at China's relations with these cartels and everything else. So China is so embedded in South America, Latin America, you know, they're complacent. Anything China wants to do, Belt and Road, China owns them. So it'll be really interesting, Lorianne, to check back in with everybody on Sunday and see where we're at with this. You know, I feel like the show was a lot of hypotheticals and what ifs and whatnot. But, you know, what are some girls supposed to do? We're supposed to figure it out, and we're trying to figure this out along with all of you. This is a good reminder, and I know we've all kind of did this, stock up on everything you need and stuff, but folks, I care about you. With the recession and stuff, it's really hard to go and stock up on some essential items and stuff. I'm not talking about filling your cart with toilet. But you may need to look at some of your essential needs. You may want to make sure you have a little extra medication on hand if you take medication. If you can find baby formula and you feed your baby that stuff, I'd get some more of that and some freeze-dried food. There's a lot of uncertainty in the coming days. This may be a big nothing burger. It might just be China going, what's the United States going to do if we float these unknown payloads and surveillance balloons over their biggest military assets? Oh, they're not going to do anything. Well, it's a free-for-all. Okay? And
yeah, exactly.
Or,
like,
no.
You know, what other governments are going to follow suit? Like, oh, they allowed it here. Obviously, we could do it. Let's send our own, and here you go, you know?
Yeah.
Is this going to be a train?
Obviously. Yeah. So, I mean, seriously, keep your axe grinded and your, you know, powder dry, because who knows what's coming in the coming days.
And
my nine millimeter close
hand at any given time, really.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, and I just think to yourselves, take a moment of reflection. I hate to do the negative, but take a moment of reflection and look back on these last few years, the Democrats wanting to, you know, and I hate to say Democrats, but it's been predominantly Democrats who want to disarm you. They want to take your rights away. They want to mask, muzzle, mandate you, jab you, everything else. It has broke down our spirit, our communing together, getting together, rallying against this, grassroots. I mean, just, it's crazy. And it all started with China. It all started, not all of our ills, but a lot of them the last few years.
In cahoots.
China.
Yeah.
In cahoots with China.
In cahoots with Russia. You know, I cannot stress enough how we need to think of Russia and China as one and the same.
They are each other's biggest
trade partners. They are each other's biggest military partners, and therefore you know each other's biggest intelligence partners. So if, you know, whatever Russia does against us, China's behind it. Whatever China does
mm-hmm.
against us, Russia's behind it. It is the two together. They are in collaboration with each other. We cannot forget that dynamic. And don't let one each other take the fall and take the blame in order to cover the other. It happens all the time. Probably like what the U.S. does with Saudi Arabia. Doesn't matter what Saudi Arabia does, we'll forgive them. And then likewise, doesn't matter what we do with them, they'll forgive us because our relationship is so monetarily dependent on each other in so many ways.
Yes,
it's the same kind of thing between Russia and China.
That was so important. And it's something that I was talking about earlier, that Russia and China are in cahoots. So if I see this constantly, I stand with Ukraine. It's not that I don't stand with the Ukrainian people. I don't stand with the Ukrainian government. And now, so we've got China and Russia beating up on Ukraine. We don't have any stakes in Ukraine. We don't have any assets. We've got no skin in that game at all. Yet we're sending all of our military assets, and Russia and China are going, holy crap, look at this. What the hell are they doing? Well, let's just keep pecking at that border and depleting their stuff. And when they are at their lowest, well, we'll just send a couple balloons their way. Because that's all it'll take.
Well,
that's all. And I hope
I have a partial answer to that question.
Okay, go ahead.
Ukraine does have a state because we cannot forget the Nord Stream pipeline. And one of the strategic things is Europe really wants more pipelines from Ukraine for natural gas and oil. And that is why the Nord Stream pipelines were blown up. And then that created a pipeline from Norway to come down to give relief and pump it from there. But so our interest in Ukraine, once again, is about oil and gas. because they want these pipelines.
But that has nothing to do with
And they don't
this.
Want the Russians to control it.
It has nothing to do with this. As do with Europe. We don't get gas or anything from the Nord Stream. Maybe Joe Biden gets his 10%. But American people, that's not an asset. You want gas? You want natural gas? You want
exactly.
oil?
But it's
we're
not the benefit of. It's
the
benefit our
we're
rulers.
We're almost
you know.
Exactly. And to make their, like I said, their
we
hypothetical.
We are investing in it so that we can have control over
our asset.
European. It's the UN. It's NATO. It's all of that. You know, that's who's controlling all of this. It's NATO and
so,
it's the UN.
All right, so
that
our
is,
forefathers,
it is to their advantage.
Our forefathers died, fought. Our forefathers died and fought to the end for our sovereignty. For only to hundreds of years later, for this illegitimate administration to just pimp itself out to them to give all of the, I mean,
yeah.
to give all of our military
That's
assets,
true.
All of our hundreds of years of wealth, you know, and taxpayer investment and everything else, just giving it back to the people we took it from. And yet they talk about enslavement. This administration makes, and I mean, I'm not saying slavery, I mean, I was against it. You know, I wasn't even born yet, but, you know, I inherently know it's wrong. And I don't know anybody in my family ever owned slaves or anything like that. But
me
I
mean, neither.
Go
nope.
that woke out. But, yeah. So what
my,
the heck?
My
but
ancestors, like great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, they resided in, like, Norway and Sweden, and they came to America and
yeah,
you know,
me
farmed
too.
And everything in the Midwest, like South Dakota and stuff. They never owned slaves, you know.
Yeah,
my ancestors weren't any part of it, you know.
No. Nope. Yeah, I'm Nordic,
Don't look
too,
at me and think
and
that I owe you reparations, you know. God.
Yeah, I'm not going to pay you paid shit. But, yeah, and it has nothing to do with that kind of stuff. But anyway, so yeah. There's a lot to talk about on your show on Sunday, and I think we should save some of that for Sunday. And
oh, yeah.
we'll be able
I mean,
to.
There's
going to
be so much more. It's just there's been so much stuff going on this week. It's not even funny. But I'm glad that you chose all this China stuff because if you didn't, I was gonna because this is just oh my gosh, you know, and it's such a continuation from last week, like we talked about earlier, like, you know, we talked about fentanyl stuff, and now it's just, it is becoming more and more obvious, and I think that there are too few people that are willing, like you and I are, to call it out for what it is, an act of war, and our president and his administration are completely violating their oath of office, completely failing in their duties to shoot the stupid thing down before it can do who knows what with the unknown payload. You know, this is treasonous. They are in cahoots with it every single minute. You know, like, if this is not a wake-up call for people, it's just like, you know, how much more does it take? You know, how much more does it take? If it's a bomber from China, are we just going to, you know, let it fly over U.S. airspace from Alaska through Canada, all throughout our country to the East Coast? Would we allow this if it was a plane, you know, or a drone
yep.
or anything else? Of course not. Why are we allowing this? It is treasonous. And I just, you know, why are you and I and so few people willing to call it what it is? Absolute treason, what is being allowed to happen right now. Because they're
yep.
doing it deliberately. It is deliberate. It's not because, oh, we don't know what to do and we need to still talk to our people. No, you know, it isn't that. They're not answering to it at all. At all. They're not saying anything.
Yeah,
they're not saying we're working with our different departments in the military and you know, international ambassadors and shit like that. You know, they're not saying anything of the kind. And they should be. Ambassadors from other countries should be completely denouncing this action from China. They should be defending the United States because Lord knows we've spent trillions of dollars defending them in Europe. You know what I mean? And now
that we are being surveilled, now that we are the target,
you know, yeah, it's 90 seconds to midnight. Now that we are the target, where are our allies? You know, to support us in, like, yeah, shoot that sucker down. And if there's any retaliation on China or Russia's part in result, we have your back. Where are they?
Nope. Yep. So I think we're being set up for something big. And I've given you my speculation. You know, we've got an important event happening Tuesday. We've got all these important, you know, congressional and Senate people convening, you know, all these people convening in D.C. at one given time. I'm really careful how I put that because I've had the Joint Terrorist Task Force on my doorstep before. So,
you have to remind me of that story. I know you told me, but it's been a long time, and I don't remember the details.
Yeah, we'll go into that another time. That's like almost a whole show by itself. But no, but seriously,
you'll do a special episode.
Yeah.
My story about this
Joint Terrorist Task Force coming to my house. Yeah, no, not good. But.
So you could do a special episode, and I'll bet you people would tune in to hear it. They would just see the headline and go, okay, I'll tune in for that.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, so let's save some of this for your show on Sunday night. And we've kind of gone over in overtime tonight, and I, for one, have to work very early in the morning, and it looks like a lot of people have gone to bed early.
But you know, I enjoy my time with you.
I know. Well, we can always pick it up on a phone conversation, like just real time. We can talk on the phone after this.
But you need to get some rest, though. You've had a long day. And I totally get it, though. But I love our time together. And I think it was a great show tonight. We both got passionate about the subject, and this was just good.
I wish there was more concrete information to go off. It's like a bunch of hypothetical what ifs, but you know, if we don't mull these out and talk about them, I mean, you know, what the heck? So it could be, this could be all a big nothing burger. I've got the hiccups.
Isn't that what talk radio is about? Like, let's talk about this. Remember a couple times I was like, call in, talk to me about this. What do you know? Am I off, you know, am I far off base here? You know, let's debate this. And like, you know,
exactly.
I don't think I'm too far off. But we need to be asking these questions. This is our job. We, the people's job, is to keep our government in check. And we can't do that if we don't ask questions and we don't think of the hypotheticals that they are thinking of. Or that they're not thinking of, you know, you know what I'm saying? Or what they're not answering to, you know, it's like, if I can think of this, I am not a specially super intelligent person. Okay. But if my brain can think of some of this stuff and come up with these conclusions as a very possibility or probability, then and as not professional as I am at it, and yet there's millions of dollars that are into, you know, these think tanks that have thought up of everything that I've thought up and more. You know what I'm saying? You got to kind of think of that too. Like everything I've thought of is like, they thought of that a long time ago and now it's just being implemented and I'm just noticing it. That kind of thing. Does that make sense? Anyway.
No, it makes perfect sense because I've been studying the weather. You know, I'm a big meteorologist, but I mean, I love weather. And weather's really important for me to watch because we do a lot of, you know, flying in float planes and my groceries come in, the mail comes in, and, you know, I get around on them quite often. And this week's weather is, aside from some lower temperatures in the southern states that they're not used to, is unusually, like continental United States, unusually quiet weather for the whole period of from now through Tuesday. Favorable.
You know, come to think of
for,
it, it's been that way here too in Oregon. It's been so much more mild.
No, I'm talking.
I think there was only
I'm
one day
about,
so far where there was even enough snow to actually barely blanket a little bit so far this winter, which is very uncommon here. In my area in Oregon, where it's like usually by now we've gotten a good, you know, 3 or 4 days of cold weather and snow and some ice storms and crap like that to roll through by now. And it hasn't happened so far this year. It's weird.
Well, what I was referring to is this week specifically. The lower continental United States. I'm not talking about my weather in Alaska. I'm talking about, like, from if I've been tracking, I went back and tracked the weather from 2 days ago through the next week, and it is a uneventful, like, pattern was planned, obviously. And through this next week, it's really uneventful, which is unheard of this time of year, especially usually we're getting, you know, the United States, not me, but the lower 48 is usually getting that Arctic or that Canadian Arctic blast. And if you look at the meteorological models for this coming week, there is nothing going on. There's really no high winds in the northern part of the United States. You know, there's some snow and rain, but nothing untoward at 60,000 feet. It's very interesting. If you look at the aviation weather, so, yeah, was very carefully planned. So I cannot wait to catch up on that. So Lori Ann got booted off the show by Blog Talk, or her phone hung up on her. And so we'll be picking up this conversation probably on the Loose and Libertarian with Lori Ann show Sunday night, 6 to 9 p.m. right here at Blog Talk Radio. Please tune in. For the rest of you that stuck through the rest of this broadcast, we went into overtime. Thanks for sticking with us. I know there was a lot of hypotheticals and what ifs on this broadcast tonight, but, you know, that's all we have right now. We're just kind of going off, you know, what we can glean from the information. So everybody out there, just be safe. God bless. And this is the Alaska Patriot Network, and we're signing out.